Hour number three, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Monday afternoon. At this time on Mondays, we bring up our buddy Vince Ferrara, the sports animal, WNML in Knoxville, to talk all things Vols. Vinny, how you doing?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Well, better than Rick Barnes and Tennessee's basketball team. That was not good on Saturday. Not good at all. Bruce Pearl continues to have his way with Tennessee. Yikes. Tennessee made their run in the second half. They got what? Did they get within five, maybe six?
Right.
And then Auburn just kind of took over from there.
And what's crazy is that Auburn's run started like after they got their third significant player with four fouls. And they're not an exceptionally beat team, but Doughty was so good they couldn't keep him in front of them. And then, you know, they just didn't handle ball screens with him well. A couple times just left him wide open with breakdowns. Just didn't have an answer for that kid. And, you know, he's an all-SEC player. But, you know, just certain matchups really give Tennessee a lot of difficulty. And they just did not have answers in that game. I don't know if they ran out of gas, if they started because they had their most sustained success in a while. Maybe they started to feel like they had arrived and they could, you know, let up a little bit. I don't know how to explain it. Rick Barnes didn't know how to explain it. So, it was deflating for a lot of people because you strung together two straight wins over Florida and Kentucky that honestly nobody saw coming on their own, much less back-to-back and then doing it at Rupp. And then, you know, they were starting to give back into the NCAA tournament bubble conversation. You beat Auburn, you get a lot of people's attention, and then you might start saying, hey, a couple of wins in Nashville at the tournament, and then this team has a legit shot of getting in. But that went flushed, I think, on Saturday.
Yeah. Whenever your head coach is already answering questions about the NIT, not good. Will you guys accept a bid to the NIT? Honestly, if I'm Rick Barnes, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to answer that right now. Like, we're worried about the SEC tournament. But he was like, yeah, sure, of course. We want to we'll just keep playing. These kids need to keep playing. And I'm like, wow, you really answered an NIT question? And you still got the SEC tournament in front of you?
It's a fair point, Darren. And, you know, that was just a moment of honesty, I guess, for him. But and it's one that a lot of people have speculated whether they would accept it or not. I never bought that they wouldn't accept one. And there's plenty of people that say, oh, it doesn't mean anything, kids aren't engaged, all that kind of fun stuff. But he wants his kids to practice and play games because they have a lot of people coming back next year. So it doesn't surprise me that he would want to play in that game, but it's not going to excite anybody, the fans or anybody else, no doubt.
What is going to be that they kick off Thursday's action? We'll be doing our show at Bridgestone on Thursday and Friday. They start the day with their game against Alabama. Last year, man, it was great. I mean, the atmosphere was fantastic. You had the usual Kentucky fans. Tennessee fans were jacked sky high, so they came out in droves. What do you think is going to be, you know, the follow-up this year? Where is the fan base with this year's team? Are they going to show up for the SEC tournament on Thursday?
I think it's going to be probably somewhere in the middle, Darren, to be honest with you. I think there'll be some Tennessee fans there. It would have been more, honestly, had they continued the hot streak and beaten Auburn. I think you would have seen people suddenly go looking for tickets and feel like they want to be there because now they feel like they had a legit shot to make a run. And you could actually make a case that they could make a deep run in the tournament had they beaten Auburn, because we hadn't seen them play this way, even with two straight wins, in a long time. So had they beaten Auburn, now it's a different team that you can view, and you can start to visualize them doing things that would have been completely off the radar earlier. But that didn't happen. So I think there's some people that have tickets that are just going to go, you know, and say, hey, we'll see what happens. And, you know, I don't think everyone's just selling their tickets and going to stay away. I think it'll be a middle ground. There'll be some fans there, see what happens. But it won't be with the energy and the confidence and the volume that they had a year ago. It'll be somewhere in the middle.
Are you coming here?
You know, that's to be determined when I'm going to talk to our powers that be and see what the story is today. So not sure. We'll find out.
If you could put your finger on one thing that sums up this year's team and how we're talking about this team where they are today, how would you sum that up? What went wrong, basically?
I would say the biggest thing was that they didn't have Lamonte Turner. Now, you could say, well, they added Vescovi, they added Uroš Plavšić, but you're still trying to patch a lot of holes from last year. They lost four players to the NBA, and then Lamonte Turner, who was arguably their best player on this year's team, he was never healthy, and then you lose him. So who today has the depth to lose their top five players? Or five of their top six players, because Bowden was in that group too. So, and a lot of people are frustrated they didn't have the roster to overcome that, especially with bigs. But that's still a huge loss. And the Turner one is just not one that, you know, you knew was going to happen. Plus, you know, they get a transfer in Victor Bailey that's not immediately eligible from Oregon. He will be next year. I just think it's kind of like one of those transition years because of what you lost this year and what you have coming in to the program next year. The biggest thing is will these guys take that next step in development next year to go along with the influx of new talent that comes in the program next season? And that way it's just one down year rather than a sustained down year. But so I would just say the loss to Lamonte Turner really set them back. A lot of the things that they didn't do well were things that a healthy Lamonte Turner could bring to the table. And by the way, I did talk to Lamonte a couple of days ago, and he met with the media also. He's in much better spirits now. He talked about how he was down in, at times, and seeing his team and not being able to play, and it's a senior year. But he still says he has workouts with teams planned, and that he'll just starting to shoot again with that shoulder, and he should be full go by April. So his plans are to try to play professionally, and try to get some opportunities to continue playing basketball. So at least that was a positive from his personal standpoint.
Spring practice starts tomorrow for football, Vince. Give us what is the headline? What's the lead story as they begin?
Well, I think for me overall, it's the coaches, all the changes to the coaching staff. But for the fans, it's going to be five-star quarterback Harrison Bailey. I think that's what people are going to want to hear and read about and see about is Harrison Bailey. Because he's an early enrollee, you know, there's six early enrollees. Four of them were in the signing class for Tennessee: Harrison Bailey, Dominic Bailey, a defensive lineman, Jimmy Callaway, who is the second quarterback in the class, and he's at quarterback right now at the moment, but he's one that, you know, some recruiting services listed as a wide receiver. I think that's probably his future because He is a dual threat type of quarterback and super athletic and fast. And then the other two and Cooper Mays is the other one in that class. And the other two were Cooper's brother, Cade Mays, who's the transfer from Georgia, and then Velus Jones, who is the grad transfer wide receiver from USC. Now, we don't know if Cade Mays is going to be immediately eligible or not, but all those guys were introduced at the basketball game Saturday, and Cade Mays got a good response, but Harrison Bailey's response was on a different level. So I think that's where the fan interest is going to start right there with Bailey and watching every throw. And, you know, the fans are going to want to see him on the field quickly. And I'm guessing that Jeremy Pruitt's going to, you know, kind of squash that. I think he's going to talk about there's competition and all that. But, you know, the expectation for the fans, I don't think it's going to match Jeremy Pruitt and Jim Chaney wanting to trot him out there right away. We'll see how spring practice goes, but I would start there as the biggest story. And then after that, it's all the changes to the coaching staff. The veteran coaches were really good at developing players, especially in year two. You're bringing in, other than Jay Graham, you're bringing in some younger coaches that are less of a known commodity. How does that all work? Well, that's another thing. And hopefully we get a chance to talk to them so we can really dive into that subject a little bit more. But that would be number two for me.
More with Vince Ferrara on the other side, talking about all thing Vols here on Darren Donick and Chase. Right now, I want to talk about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And they've got more than 18,000 satisfied homeowners. If you're a homeowner, listen up. Maybe you've noticed with all this rain, and unfortunately we're going to get a lot more rain this week, bowing basement walls if you have a basement, maybe standing water in your crawl space, musty odors or rot in floor joists, condensation on ductwork, cracks in basement floors. Look, all these things are signs on something probably is going on in your house that's probably not good. Something you maybe need to get the experts out to take a look at. And you're wondering, why is all this going on? Why is my home wet? Well, maybe you have poor drainage. Maybe you've got water seeping through walls, surface water flooding over walls. There's all kinds of signs. Like I said, if we've had a lot of rain, which we're going to get again this week, this is where you need to get the experts out to your house. They're going to give you a free estimate from USS. They're locally owned. They're licensed and insured. They absolutely believe in their quality of work, their reputation, their integrity. They have all of that. And how about peace of mind as a homeowner? Because these are projects you probably can't tackle. I know I can't. And this is where USS comes into play. So call them and get them out to your house by dialing this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. You can always go to their website, usstn.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.
We're back. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. About to head to the airport and continuing our conversation with Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal WNML in Knoxville. So, Vinny, I know you brought up with spring practice starting, you know, some of the storylines that we're going to be looking at with the six early enrollees that are there. But now that we're in year three is where things really start to heat up, and things were good for the Vols last year with the bowl game and all of that. But what are some other expectations that Vols fans are going to start to talk about, even though it's way, 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 way too early as they open spring practice?
Well, I think there's excitement, Chase, over the lines of scrimmage. You know, we hear from fans that are already asking questions and giving their opinions on it. And, you know, the offensive and defensive lines that haven't been very good for a while at Tennessee, that's something that people are excited about. When you think about getting Trey Smith to come back to school for his senior season, having two five-star offensive linemen tackles that are now going to be sophomores that, well, both of them got a chance to play an awful lot last year, especially Wanya Morris on the left side. Then you bring in Cade Mays from Georgia, who was a five-star offensive lineman that a lot of Tennessee fans wanted. And then you know, you had people, unfortunately, basically tell him, we didn't want you anyway when he went to Georgia. And now he's welcomed back, I'm sure, by those same people with open arms. But that was just a small, you know, percentage of the fan base. But, you know, we don't know if he's going to be eligible or not. But if he is, and there is the expectation that he will be right away, and you get Brandon Kennedy back for, he got a 6-year of eligibility getting his waiver, and he stayed healthy last year for the most part. So now you're talking about having four of your five offensive linemen being five stars, and then a 6-year returning starting center. That's going to get people excited, and it hasn't been that way for so long. And then on the D line, here's where I'm a little disconnected from where some fans look at it. Tennessee was much better on the defensive line last year than anyone expected it to be, and I totally admit that. Now, they didn't have any dominant players, and I don't know if they have a dominant player in this group now. People are excited about it because I think a lot of those guys, even if they didn't have big names, played well as a unit, as a rotation, and so they held their own. They weren't spectacular, but they held their own. Then you had a couple of guys that really didn't play, some of the guys from last year's recruiting class. And you had Emmett Gooden, who was projected to start at nose tackle for you, that didn't play due to injury. He's now back this year. Plus, you get the new guys coming in this class. You're hoping for the best with some of those guys. That's where the excitement is generated on the D-line, because fans feel like, hey, we're 3-4 deep. Look at all the guys we already had. We get Gooden back. The guys we had are going to get better. We get Gooden back. We get these new guys. This guy's going to be great. And then that's where you feel like the D-line is in a great spot. I don't think any of their guys, existing guys, including Gooden, are difference makers, all SEC players. And if you're going to do the things that Tennessee fans are going to want to do in competing for the East or winning the SEC down the road, you got to have difference makers on the D-line. You can't just be a bunch of rotation guys that are effort guys. And unless they have one on their roster that hasn't developed yet and had playing time, or anyone in this last signing class, unless one of those guys develop, I don't see any of the existing guys falling in that category. So I'm a little more reserved on the D line than the offensive line. But to answer your question, Chase, that's the biggest thing that I think fans are excited about, is the lines of scrimmage, which have been the biggest concerns about this team entering the season for I don't know how many years.
I'm excited to hear Jeremy Pruitt announce who will be the starting quarterback week one. Oh, wait, he's probably not going to do that.
Well, yeah, he'll do that. That'll be announced just before kickoff.
Yeah, you know, exactly. So. Yeah. That's how it works. Real quick, baseball dropped 2 out of 3 to Wright State, their first two losses of the year. What'd you make of that?
Yeah, you know, I didn't think they would lose the series. I'm not shocked that they lost the game. Everyone except for Florida now in the SEC has lost a game. But Wright State, I tried to tell people going into the week, Wright State, they were Horizon League champs last year. They won 42 games. They already also had a win over a number one team this year. They won at Louisville, just like Tennessee won against Texas Tech. And this was the third SEC series Wright State had this year. They play in Starkville and at Auburn. So they weren't going to come in here intimidated by Tennessee. So, you know, they pitched better than it looked like on paper. And Tennessee was just off offensively over the weekend. The biggest positive, though, is that expected first-round draft pick left-hander Garrett Crochet made his season debut And he started game two and looked spectacular, 3 1/3, scoreless with 6 strikeouts. So now you get him back, you get a first-round draft pick back into your rotation for conference play starting on Friday at South Carolina. They have two other really good important pitchers that haven't pitched yet. They are very close to getting back, Camden Sewell and Will Heflin. So that gives a little bit of a boost. But, you know, I think it wasn't, they weren't sharp at all this weekend. I don't think you sound the alarms by any means, because a lot of teams are playing, you know, those smaller schools close or even losing to them. So we'll see how they bounce back from it. But it'll be fun to get conference play going this weekend. And by the way, real quick, the Tennessee baseball program did something very cool. They did a really quick, they put it together in a day. They did a kids camp to raise money for all those in the mid-state that were impacted by those tornadoes. And they put that together and had a great turnout. I was down there, and I just think it's very cool, and it shows the awareness of the athletics department, especially Tennessee baseball. I haven't checked. I need to check on the exact, you know, money that they were able to raise. But just got a couple of kids. Will Mabry is from Putnam County, and they're in Cookeville. And then also Sean Huntley is from Mount Juliet. So we talked to both of those guys, and, you know, so all their families were okay. But, you know, you can tell that they were impacted by everything that's happened. So certainly thinking about all those folks in Nashville strong.
Who gets it done here? Who cuts down the nets on Sunday? Which, by the way, I wish they'd stop doing this on Sunday. I wish they would make the championship game on Saturday night or something. Anyway, who's going to cut down the nets?
Amen on that. I've said that for a while, too. I totally agree with that. You know, it depends on if Kentucky has Hagans. I'll go with Kentucky. If they don't, then I would probably say Auburn again.
By the way, what's going on with Hagans? What's the story on that?
I don't know. I mean, I saw what you guys saw in that Calipari put it out there. He had some personal issues, and that's just a strange situation, and obviously not great timing. They're not going very far if they don't have him.
Nope.
Because I think with them having those three outstanding guards, if they're all dialed in, I think they can go a ways in the tournament. But without him, then that's a huge problem.
I agree with you 100%. Thanks for doing this as always. Hope we get to see you this week. If not, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Yep. If I come out there, I'll be in touch. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate
Sounds
it.
Sounds good. Vince Ferrara, WNML, the sports animal. There in Knoxville. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side on this Monday. ESPN 102.5 The Game.